Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Circuses on the air.
The president does.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
Now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Dave Schwann brings some sweets into the newsroom again, makes Dave Plyer eat all of it and make gaining weight as usual. It's so good. Sorry, I was just trying to get my
talking my about that. The love handles, as they used
yes
to call
exactly.
It.
Thank you, Dave. How you doing, buddy?
Good,
excellent.
I was listening to Roger's weather forecast.
Yeah.
And the fact that we are talking now 70s.
Yeah.
And
finally,
I
right?
saw something yesterday that said maybe 80 a week from today.
I love all that, but the
so
fact that it's 48 today still. And
oh,
then,
I know. And then all of the rain and cloudiness and dreariness we had yesterday.
Yeah. We should have rain tonight, I think.
Yeah.
Or rain tonight.
Yeah, rain,
yeah.
Rain later today and into the evening.
Yeah.
But wow, here we are the middle of May. Mm-hmm. And really, it's felt like late October.
It has.
November.
It has. Absolutely has.
So we'll break out of it. And what a win for the Cubs yesterday. I saw
fantastic.
The ending of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I went to the game on, what day was that? We went Wednesday night. Where was the, what do you call it? Oh, God, now I can't even think of it.
Wrigley Field.
Yes. the double play. That was phenomenal.
Oh,
and 10
that.
Innings later, and it was funny, we were getting, I posted that we were at the game and we were getting tornado warnings and thunderstorm warnings
oh,
from
right.
everybody.
Sure.
And they started the game early.
Was it Wednesday? There was a tornado
I
warning.
I had people texting me. I thought it was all the comments on Facebook. Get out of there. You're going to die. And I got to tell you, and then it went into extra innings. And I thought to myself, oh, God, we're never going to get out of here. We're going to be soaked.
What a way to go.
No, I got to tell you.
At Wrigley Field.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would be a way to go. I do that. I do that. All right, so here's some cool history. 1904, Canada Dry Ginger Ale was introduced. There was a guy, the oldest son of Robert McLaughlin, who was the founder of a carriage and motor car company, created this ginger ale. He was appointed to the royal household of the Governor General of Canada, and the label featured a beaver atop a map of Canada, was replaced by the present crown and shield. So I guess that was what it was originally packaged like. He began shipping this product to New York. It became so popular that he opened a plant in Manhattan shortly thereafter, and the rest is history. That is the ginger ale, obviously.
Canada Dry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You said the man's name that started it, or
McLaughlin.
Lola McLaughlin. I wonder if that was the same guy that had made coffee. There was a brand of coffee my parents bought when I was a boy called McLaughlin's Manor House Coffee.
Okay.
I haven't seen it in years. It's probably not around anymore. But it's a food,
yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Item, a food item.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Or a beverage item,
mm-hmm.
I should say. So, I don't know.
In 1917, some 6 weeks after the United States formally entered the First World War, the U.S. Congress passed the Selective Service Act of May 18th, 1917, giving the U.S. President the power to draft soldiers. Now, Josh just got his letter in the mail
as he
turned 18.
They
yeah.
still send them out?
I did not know they did that. But when it came, I was like, oh, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they certainly do.
Yeah. I received And Josh is about ready to graduate.
Yes.
Now. And yes. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
But when I was his age mm-hmm. and I was about ready to get out of high school, I received a selective service card yeah. in the mail. It wasn't a letter. It was just a card. And
there was a card in there, too.
Yeah. My age group just got out from under the draft where there was a lottery for Vietnam.
Wow.
Just
wow.
under the wire for it. Ooh. And then there was nothing.
Early 70s?
A number of years.
Early
yeah, 70s, 1974. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
So things were, as wow. they said, winding down. They yeah. weren't over yet, and they really kind of weren't winding down. But
still, for decades, you got that letter, you got that card.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
a little nerve-wracking,
as little
obviously.
As 5 years prior to that, 1969, 1968, very much so. And that was at the height of the time of draft card burners.
Sure, sure, sure.
People defecting to Canada.
Yep.
So I didn't realize they still sent it out.
Yeah. Yeah, still he so got it.
They know who he is.
He got it. They know who he is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 1938, The Adventures of Robin Hood, directed by Michael Curtis, William Kiley, and starred Errol Flynn and Olivia de Havilland. And the only reason I brought that up is because I remember watching this on Family Classics.
Family Classics, sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. With yeah. with Frazier Thomas. Love that movie.
Roy Leonard probably showed it, too.
He probably did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to get Dean to show it.
We have, actually, all the books from Family Classics at the Broadcast Museum.
Do you?
Actually,
yeah.
right now they're over at WGN TV because Dean has recorded new episodes.
Right.
And there's only
right.
two wall panels left in the chair, but yeah. all the books still exist.
Is that right?
Which is pretty cool. Yeah.
You know, very quickly, he's yeah. explained, because people, myself included, have been asking him, well, why don't you show this movie? And why don't you show that movie? And we'd love to see this one again. And he's explained that the rights to a great many of those films have been swallowed up by other companies, and they can't get
them. They have, and you can't find, or yeah. you can't get
a hold of it. Like, we can't show It's a Wonderful Life anymore, because
oh.
I think NBC has the exclusive.
They do.
They have exclusivity on that.
They do through, does Universal own them? Somebody does, but they have a contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, to air that. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
So there's all of that that comes into play.
1973 televised. Oh, no. Holy cow. How did I miss
jumping
this?
Jumping ahead there, Dave.
I did. Yesterday was Ernie Banks' 500th anniversary.
Yesterday?
It was yesterday.
I knew it was this week.
Let's listen to that original call with Jack Brickhouse.
Ernie Banks. Hitting .241 at the moment. Two home runs, 13 runs batted in. 499 lifetime homers. Here we go. Foul ball, strike one. He has narrowly missed getting a home run the last couple of days with triples high off that wall and left. Strike one. It's a ball, 1-1. The wind is not a big factor. It's out of the southeast at 7 miles an hour.
Here comes.
Jarvis fires away. That's a fly ball. Deep to left. Back. That's it. Hey. He did it. Ernie Banks got number 500. A line drive shot into the seats and left. The ball tossed in the bullpen. Everybody on your feet. This is it.
There you go.
That was 1969. May. It was this week.
Yeah.
So I was junior in high school.
Yeah. I was in eighth grade, and they couldn't settle us down at school for that afternoon. Somebody had a radio in the room or something like that. But definitely the next day, you know,
everybody was very excited about it.
I think.
With Roger and Mike.
Sorry about that. I think we were either at school and someone had it on in the office, or one of the rooms had the TV on with a...
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Well, we couldn't get TV unless you stuck a paperclip in the... You know, connected it to the antenna.
Somebody
connection.
Wheeled in a black and white set.
Well, right.
We were just talking about that earlier.
Yeah,
to get reception on television.
So,
yeah.
Ashley, yeah, I remember seeing it when it happened. I remember the call. It's... Now I feel older than I was before I came to work today.
I was two.
Oh!
It was two.
Oh.
In 1969. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I bet
you don't feel two now.
No, I don't. No, I don't. Not when I'm talking to Ashley here.
Gotta put
here.
My
no.
teeth back
yeah,
in,
exactly.
Dave.
Yeah, yeah, go get your teeth, Dave. 1973, the Watergate hearings began in Washington, D.C. The Senate Select Committee on Presidential Campaign Activities, headed by Senator Sam Ervin of North Carolina, began the televised hearings. Let's take a little listen to some of that.
Yeah,
we are beginning these hearings today in an atmosphere of utmost gravity. The questions that have been raised in the wake of the June 17 break-in strike at the very undergirding of our democracy. If the many allegations made to this date are true, then the burglars who broke into the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee at Watergate were in effect breaking into the home of every citizen of the United States.
Yeah.
And if these allegations prove to be true...
So that aired for, obviously, quite some time.
It did.
Yeah.
And it was on for almost the duration of the hearings, and by the time they just stretched on and on and on, keep in mind there was no CNN yet. There was no Fox
right.
News.
No,
was
yeah. No, it was the major
MSNBC.
Networks.
It was the networks that were carrying.
Everything was interrupted.
They just decided, well, we're losing money.
Yeah.
And they reverted back to their
regular programming,
you know, which was reruns in
it
the morning.
It becomes exhausting, just like it is today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
very
right?
tedious. And, you know, it boiled down to the one mitigating critical piece of testimony from a White House aide that said, well, yes, there are tape recordings of the president. Oh, there
That's
are?
Crazy. I know.
And then they subpoenaed them, and then one thing led to another, and ultimately to President Nixon's resignation.
Yeah, crazy, yeah. crazy. 1973, also, Roan and Martin's Laugh-In aired their last episode on NBC.
Me.
So I had George Schlatter on today at 3 o'clock. So if you want to listen to that interview, the original creator of Laugh-In, who discovered Lily Tomlin and Goldie Hawn and Ruth Buzzy and all these other talented individuals, you can listen to that at WGNradio.com. Ashley will have that up sometime after 6 or before
Excellent.
6. Yeah,
Excellent.
Good stuff.
That was really a cutting-edge show.
It was. And he was pretty honest about it off-air that he said, you know, if you watch them now, they have to piece them together. There's some skits that can hold its own, but some of them are very outdated
very
because
dated,
of the political
the
nature
political
of the
political nature
yeah.
of it and the language,
yeah.
you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. 1985, Michael Jordan was named the NBA Rookie of the Year back in
85.
Yeah. 1998, Frank Sinatra died 21 years ago age of 82.
I was thinking about Sinatra. I couldn't remember exactly when it was. So it's what year was it?
It was 98.
Okay.
Here's a little Carson Sinatra on Carson.
Hey, Frank, it's good to see you.
With Rickles.
I just was hanging around in the hall, and they said, Frank Sinatra's here. I've never met him, you know. And I get the chill.
You'll excuse us.
You always made fun of him because of the mafia.
Marco Mangananzo was hurt.
Marco Mangananzo.
Fambino Bombazzo. Two bullets in the head Thursday.
Thursday. So Sinatra was rarely a guest on the show, and he was there with Rickles.
This you don't believe. Excuse us, Johnny. You're from the Midwest. You're busy going, is the truck loaded? Guido says hi. He hasn't had a chance to talk to you. And from Jersey City, your good friend, Bubani Umbatsa.
What's
he
his name?
He started his car.
I would love to see Sinatra's
he
face.
He started his car with your album
fantastic.
On, and now he's a highway.
Is he?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, Rickles always just say, see if he's laughing.
Oh, it's funny.
But I tell you, I'm a Jew and you're an Italian. And here we have what? And this is a great Irishman. This is America.
Yes, sir.
And that's why I just want to say, before we go any further, for 14 years, Johnny Carson kept saying, do you really know Frank? And I want you to know, Frank, I worship you and I love you. I really mean this. Because since I'm a kid, I used to blow in girls' ears and hear you go, la da da dee, and do it my way. I need a girl so bad.
He's got a quick story to tell.
Ill.
I want him to get to it.
But you just got married, Frank. I just can't picture him on the wedding night standing in the room going, and did it all, and I suppose it's my way. And Barbara love it. His wife is going, Frank, when you get a minute.
Classic. Absolute classic moment. All right, it's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
These last few days between mayors, Lori Lightfoot coming in, Rahm Emanuel going out, in most places in politics, the between days are peaceful and quiet times for personal and private hellos and goodbyes. For Mayor Emanuel, they're also giving advice times that are not quiet or personal or private. Rahm is being Rahm, splashing himself on radio and television, granting exclusive interviews in the newspapers, itemizing and boasting his successes, and revealing to Lori Lightfoot the Rahm Emanuel strategy for being a mayor good enough to be able to boast. He's telling Madam Mayor-elect, first of all, right now, immediately, call the aldermen and women of the city council, get to know them personally, take them for a beer, treat them to dinner, schmooze them, tell them you're thinking about them, and when you want them to do something your way, you'll find a way to include in it something for them. That's pretty good advice, Mr. Mayor, but it's bad how you're giving it. Not quietly and privately, but noisily and publicly, oh so publicly. Where all of us, all of Chicago, can hear about it, read about it, and think that Lori Lightfoot needs to be advised, coached, and instructed by Rahm Emanuel on how to be a mayor. Come on, Rambo. If you want to help Lori Lightfoot, if you want to help her, do it in a way the whole world won't know about it. Treat her to dinner. Duck the media. Capiche? I'm Walter Jacobson, and that's my perspective. For more, visit WGNRadio.com or download the WGN Radio app.